Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody from beautiful and a little bit chilly Colorado. I don't know if you guys have been really enjoying the weather. I think autumn is probably my absolute favorite time of year. I enjoy it, but I don't necessarily enjoy being out in it. I want to welcome you so much to We Uplift Radio. We're here to support and uplift, encourage and empower you. We Uplift Radio is actually brought to you by the Whispering Energy Collaboration. And if you're interested in taking your business to the next level in an atmosphere of integrity and cooperation, I hope you'll stop by whisperingenergy.com. It's just a great group of people. And my name is Aricia LaFrance. I'm a psychological marketing strategist specializing in helping creative entrepreneurs grow their business quickly as the artisans they are. So to learn more about what I do, I hope that you will visit AriciaLaFrance.com. And today is going to be a little bit different because I am going to be talking about procrastination. And generally, I have some really terrific guests that come on and join me. And I thought it would be just really fun to kind of have a little bit of a conversation with you. So I am going to be in the chat room. I'm going to be on Twitter, and I'm going to be talking about procrastination. So if you have questions, I hope that you will go ahead and put those in the chat room so that we can chat about those types of things. You know, procrastination is one of those kind of insidious little issues that I think that a lot of people deal with. And when I've talked with people about this, it's hit such a nerve for people, especially as we come into the holiday season. People are saying, oh my gosh, you know, I get so stressed out around the holidays because Halloween is coming up, but I still don't have my Halloween candy, and I need to get pumpkins for the kids to carve, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've only got a few days. And a lot of times, people that I talk with feel like that's just the beginning of the holiday season, and then there's just so much stress around the holidays because of procrastinating and people putting things off. So I want to really explore that subject with you today. Different things that I talk about are going to hit different nerves for different people because everybody procrastinates for a different reason. And really, I have found that there are five main causes of procrastination. Something that was kind of interesting to me is that there's a big event coming up here in Broomfield on November 4th, next Thursday. And I will still have my radio show in the morning, and then I'm going to be headed over to the Dove Conference Center. I think that's Lafayette/Louisville, but I think it's Lafayette. Anyway, if anybody is interested in joining me, I hope that you will. It's going to be so much fun. It is a women's event called Bling, and it is put on by the Chamber of Commerce. And they are going, I think it's $15 a ticket, and we start at 2 in the afternoon. We go until 6 o'clock. I'm going to be speaking on procrastination, and I just found it so interesting because, you know, primarily my work is marketing and mindset. So I help people really kind of attract their ideal clients, and I help them with any mindset issues that they have around marketing. And when I was contacted, I gave them a bunch of different titles around marketing, and then I said, you know, and I have a procrastination class. It was almost an aside. And they said, oh, you have a procrastination class? Can you talk on that? And every time I have mentioned this to people, everybody is really just, oh my gosh, I need that. I would love to hear more about that. So that's what I am going to be speaking to at this great conference. I think that the ticket includes a glass of wine. They have people there that are going to be doing massage. They have people who are going to do makeup and hair and take pictures, this is such a great service for business owners. So I don't want to go on too much about it because I know that we have people all around the world listening, but I certainly hope that local folks, local women, because it's a women's event, that local women will join me. And I'm typing in here to Twitter, and unfortunately, my brain can only be at one place at one time, but I'm going to say, join me now for a talk on procrastination, so that people who are out there who might be interested in joining us can do that. So, and I'm going to be in the chat room, too, so I'm going to go and check in there and see who has joined me today. One of the things that happens with procrastination, like I said, there are five major causes of procrastination, and I'm going to be talking about those in a class that I am teaching. A lot of times people around this time of year do not like the idea of coming to a class that is week after week after week, or that takes 3 or 4 hours. It's just too much time around the holidays. So the class that I have put together on procrastination runs for 1 hour. It's going to be held on Tuesday, November 16th at noon Colorado time. And I know that that's during the daytime for us here in the U.S. I'm hoping that people can join us on their lunch break and things like that. But we have an awful lot of students that are in Europe, and so we want to make sure that they're able to join us as well. It is going to be primarily kind of a lecture type of thing, because I'm going to be talking a lot about those five causes, and then we'll have time for questions and answers as well. So I hope that you will join us for that. What I've found with procrastination is that when people define themselves as a procrastinator and they say, this is just how I am, you know, I'm just lazy, I put things off, and they start putting themselves down when they start describing themselves as a procrastinator. And I think that women do this more than men, but I do hear it from men as well. Men kind of smile and laugh a little bit about it, but I think that there's some guilt there. And with women, they tend to just go through and run themselves right into the ground when they describe themselves as a procrastinator. And they feel really guilty and they feel awful about it. The other thing that happens when people define themselves as a procrastinator is that they box themselves in. So they've put themselves in this little container of, this is who I am, and it begins to define their behavior. Just like if I say to myself, I'm not very good at this or that thing, I'm not going to work on those skills. And when I do, I'm going to flub them up because I am going to feel like I'm not very good at this, and I'm going to believe that about myself. So, of course, it's going to be difficult for me to do it. And the same thing happens with procrastination. We define ourselves as procrastinators, and then it's really difficult for us to be on time, to get the holiday shopping done early, to do anything that we really want to do, but we get stuck in that label. So the first thing that I encourage people to do when I'm teaching my class is I tell them how important it is to really release that belief that you're a procrastinator. And I want to expand on that a little bit with you here today, because it's not only procrastinating, it's everything. How do you define yourself? What are the stories that you're telling yourself? What's the self-talk that's going on? And I know that probably most of the people in my audience have had a lot of experience learning about self-talk. But while we've all heard about it, a lot of times people don't know how to work with it. Maybe you're tuned into it, and you know that it's important to be able to tune into what you're thinking about yourself and about your world but maybe you're not sure how to change it. So a lot of times people, when I'm working with them, will talk about how they'll have this thought, like I'm a procrastinator, for example, since we're talking about that today, and then they'll say, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say that. Oh, crap, I said that. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, no, not on myself. And they go down into this, like, downward spiral. And then they're beating up on themselves again. So I want to give you an idea, kind of an alternative to that. Instead of trying to get yourself to stop thinking about something, I am going to encourage you to instead think of something different. It's just like when people are dieting and they go through, I'm sure a lot of people here are familiar with this, I know that I am, and they go through their house and they toss out all the sweets and they toss out all the chips and they toss out all the things that they're not supposed to eat. If you just did that part, and a lot of people do, you're left feeling incredibly deprived. There's nothing to eat. Our brain is the same way. It does not like that void. And so we need to give it something to chew on. So what you can do is think of something different. Now, certainly you can say, stop. Or you can say whatever you need to arrest that thought if you want to. But if you start fighting with yourself, then that's where your brain goes and that's what occupies your thoughts. So instead, what would happen if you found yourself procrastinating and you said to yourself, oh, I'm procrastinating. Oh, wait, I don't want to define this as procrastinating. What am I doing right now? And that's where the why comes in. That's where those knowing the five things that cause you to procrastinate, knowing those can really help you to move past, because then you have an idea of what needs to be accomplished. So, for example, one of the reasons that people procrastinate is because they don't have all the information they need. And we cover this in depth in the class. But if you don't have all of the information you need and you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh, I'm procrastinating, and then you say, oh, wait, I don't want to call that procrastination. What is it? What's really going on here? And you dig a little bit. What's going on that you are not able to complete this task right now? What is it? Is it fear? Is it not having all of the information you need? Regardless of what it is, once you know what it is, then you will be able to tackle it and you can work with it. So if you don't have all of the information you need, what do you need to do? Well, you need to go out and find what it is that you need. You need to start asking around and looking for the answer. But a lot of times it goes deeper than that. A lot of times, if it was just you needed to have the information, well, then you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call somebody and figure out what it is that you need. But oftentimes, it goes a little deeper than that. There's usually a feeling attached. When we're procrastinating, there's usually a feeling attached. And it may be addiction to guilt. I know that sounds a little strange, but there, you know, we get addicted to our emotional state. They become comfortable and familiar to us. Maybe not comfortable, but definitely familiar. And so we can wind up feeling really quite stuck because we're addicted to that emotional state. And when we procrastinate, it kind of gives us a hit of that emotional state that is familiar to us. Our brains typically don't like a lot of change. Our brains kind of struggle with that. And so we can get addicted to those, what I call unproductive emotional states. I don't like to call them negative necessarily. Everything has a purpose. But looking at that and realizing, I don't want to be in this unproductive state. Okay, great. This might be a little uncomfortable to change that. If that's why you're procrastinating, because you are comfortable in that emotional state of guilt about being able to release that, and that can take a little bit of work. So you see why procrastination can be kind of a sticky wicket. We think of it as something that's a little bit silly. Some people recognize how painful it is. Some people recognize how damaging it can be to getting things done. But looking at it on a deeper level, people who are serious procrastinators oftentimes are losing their jobs. They're putting things off at work to the point where their boss is like, gosh, you know, this is just not getting done. It's got to get done. I've got to find somebody who is able to take care of this. That stinks for the procrastinator. What about relationships? I think the one that breaks my heart the most is when I hear families who are with somebody, a parent is struggling with procrastination, and they talk about how they were, you know, planning to do this or that with their kids for years, and they never did. They never got around to taking pictures. They never got around to spending time with their kids. And that's really sad when those kids leave home. And it's like, oh, I had all these things I wanted to do with my kids that I kept saying later. And it never got done. So we can see that procrastination can be something that's a little bit silly. But we can see how it can really be incredibly damaging as well. So I don't really believe in procrastination. I mean, I know that it happens, but I think that it's just kind of a fancy word that people use to beat up on themselves, to be honest. Because I think it's something else. I think procrastination is a lot of things, but I think one of the big things is it's a way that we beat up on ourselves. And that we keep ourselves stuck, and it's painful. Now, human beings tend not to like to stay in painful situations. So when we're looking at procrastination, a lot of times my clients will say, why do I do this? It's ridiculous. I'm making myself miserable. I'm making everybody else miserable. I don't want to do that. So why do I keep doing this? And they really wonder about that. And what I tend to do is I tend to kind of dig for the reward. What's the reward? What is the thing about putting stuff off that feels good? And it doesn't make sense to people that it could be that they're addicted to a specific emotional state. So, moving on from there, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I'm going to speak about at the Bling event, because I think it's going to be really interesting. We're going to be talking about shoulds and expectations of other people. It's when you have a life that is full of things that you really, really love to do. I don't know any procrastinators that when I ask them to take a look at their life, they say, oh my gosh, you know, I have everything in my life, pretty much everything in my life is stuff that I really love to do, that I'm really excited about and really interested in. Most of the time, they have what I call the default calendar. If they open up their calendar, it's filled with things that they don't want to do. It's filled up with the expectations of other people and things that they feel that they should do. at the Bling event, what I'm going to be talking about, and I talk about this in my class as well, is what would happen. And I want you to imagine this. What would happen if your life was a life of intention? What would happen if you decided how you were going to fill your time? And it wasn't just by default. Your calendar wasn't just full of what other people want you to do. I think about this a lot with email. It's one of the things that I talk to my procrastinating individual clients about, because I work with individuals on this as well. And what we look at is how people can wind up spending their whole day on email. If I come down first thing in the morning and I read through my emails, I have probably 300 or 400 emails when I wake up in the morning waiting for me. And if I just read those emails, I mean, I could do that until, I don't even know, I could probably do it until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. This is what happens to a lot of procrastinators. They get derailed. They're such, I mean, they're great people. They're great people. And they have big hearts, and they want to help everybody. So they sit down first thing in the morning, and they go through their email. And suddenly 3 or 4 hours has passed. And they haven't gotten done the things that they have on their list. So what I would encourage listeners to do, if that sounds like something that would be a good fit for you, come up with what you want your day to look like, but create it. Don't have it be by default. You can have some days like that if you want. But if you can, create your days with intention so that you get done the things that you want to get done. And, of course, you know, the argument that I hear from people is, well, then what do I do with all the emails? Because I've got all of these people that I need to get back to. There's a couple of things that you can do. One of the things that you can do is you can set a timer so that you're only on your email for a half an hour or an hour, and then you get on with the rest of your day. Because I think that for some people, I know this is true for me, if I know that I might have urgent emails or things that I really need to get back to people on, that's what I'm going to be sitting here thinking about. Like, oh my gosh, okay, well, you know, I wanted to create my day with intention, so I'm just not even going to look at my email, and that can be challenging. So what you can do instead is go ahead and set that timer. When I do this, I usually look for about a half an hour first thing in the morning, and that allows me to go through my emails and weed out all of the, you know, any of the spam and things like that, and then get back to those people that I feel like, oh, my goodness, you know, I need to make sure that I get right back to this person or that person, or if a client writes me, I want to get back to them right away. So I can do that. And then I'm going to check again before I go to bed or later that day. You know, different people are different on this. But if you allow it to, it can take over your whole day. The same is true with a lot of stuff on the computer, with social media, Facebook, Twitter, and things like that. It can be fun, but you can find yourself procrastinating. So I encourage people to create with intention. What do you want your day to look like? Another thing that I find with a lot of procrastinators is that they have very high expectations of themselves. And so what they will do is, and I'm going to check in the chat room to see if that resonated with anybody. I'm hearing from people that it's hard not to have high expectations when you are a perfectionist. And an interesting aside about that, thank you, Sandy, for writing that. An interesting aside about that is that I help people with a lot of different issues. I mean, I work on marketing, but I also work on mindset. And in doing some research on hoarders, because I help people with organizing too, I have a CD called Getting It Together that's actually not out on my website anymore, but I think I'm going to put it out there soon because I've been getting a lot of requests for it. But when you look at hoarders, they're perfectionists. People are always surprised by that. But they're afraid to get started because they want it to be perfect. And it looks so overwhelming to them. And so they procrastinate and they don't organize. You know, the Associated Press followed me on a job where I was helping somebody organize the house. And that's one of those daunting tasks, especially if it's been something where you have a hard time making decisions. So all of this can, you know, this is another thing. When you look at hoarders, they have procrastinated. Some of them have procrastinated for decades, and their homes are nearly unlivable. That's really, really a sad thing. But that's procrastination, too. So, yes, thank you from the chat room. I appreciate that. I'm trying to get back to my train of thought here. But, with the email, it's going through. And you can also have an assistant to help you if you want. It doesn't have to be really, really expensive to do this, but you can hire an assistant, you can hire an intern, you can have your kids help, you know, if they're older kids and they're able to do that and they're able to discern spam, you can have them go through and kick out the spam out of your inbox, and that can help you so that you're not procrastinating. Sometimes that's one of the things, too, is that we just need a little bit of help, and it's okay to ask for help. We sometimes have a hard time with that. So I want to welcome everybody who has just come in. We're talking about procrastination today and how you can work to overcome that. A lot of the people that I work with who are procrastinators are also perfectionists and high achievers. So oftentimes what will happen is that they will have a to-do list that is just incredibly long. It would be impossible to finish that day. And then what they feel like is they always feel like they're behind. And when you always feel like you're behind, it's easy to define yourself as a procrastinator. So it's really important. Take a look at your to-do list. Build in some cushions. I was just talking with a writer about this. They're writing a story on I'm trying to think if it was procrastination or something else, but they're writing a story, and I kind of talked with them about the procrastination piece and how when you have these incredibly long to-do lists and you don't have any cushions in your day. Oh, that was it. It was somebody who's writing an article about being punctual, being on time, and breaking the habit of always being late, which is another procrastination thing, by the way. And so really what we're looking at is coming up with your day, creating your day with intention, and then taking a look at your list that you have for that day and recognizing if it's realistic or not. If you don't have a little bit of cushion between things, most of the time it's probably not very realistic. And you're probably always going to be feeling behind. And that's just a crummy feeling to have. When I'm scheduling appointments, what I tend to do is I tend to build in at least a half an hour, and I prefer an hour between appointments almost all of the time. Sometimes I can't do it, but almost all of the time I do that. And people feel like, when I've explained this technique, they're like, well, gosh, you know, how do you get stuff done? Well, I get a lot of things done because I have that little bit of time in between where I'm not completely stressed out and freaking out. Don't realize how much time that stress takes and how much of a drain it is to us. And when we're drained, we're not very attractive. And that's something else that I talk about, is that it's hard to draw your ideal clients and great people into your life when you're feeling stressed out. So I encourage you to build in those cushions. Look at your calendar. Do you have time scheduled for meals? Do you have time scheduled in? This is a huge one, and it's so important. Do you have time first thing in the morning to have an extra 10 or 15 minutes in bed just to lay there and to think about your day and to think about what is going to unfold before you, to dream of the opportunities that are going to come to you in that day? Do you have time to do that? Or do you just leap out of bed, stub your toe, jump in the shower, freeze because everybody else got their shower first, trip down the steps, pour a cold cup of coffee? I mean, not a good way to start your day. And the other thing is, when you have those cushions, you can plan. You have plenty of time to plan for the things that are going to be happening in your life and to take those opportunities that come through. You don't have to procrastinate. So you take that 10 or 15 minutes in the morning. And I don't mean, some people talk to me and they're like, well, then that means I've got to get up at 4 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know if that would work. But in some way, structuring your life so that you have that 10 or 15 minutes where you can meditate on your day and what it's going to look like and create it with intention. I know, I'm trying to think of his last name, Joe, and he's in The Secret, Dispenza. It's not The Secret, it's What the Bleep, Joe Dispenza. And he talks about this, and it's so wonderful. Talks about creating your day with intention. Laying in bed, thinking about what is it that I want to create with my day. What miracles are going to unfold before me? I want to have my eyes open for those. What am I grateful for in this moment? And I don't mean grateful like, well, you should be happy that you have food because there are starving children. Not like that. You know, that's a guilty gratitude. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true gratitude, where you're really seeing the opportunities in your life and you're really seeing the gifts. The gifts that you have that are coming into your life, but also the gifts that you are to the world, and really seeing that first thing in the morning. What a great way to wake up. And building in time so that you have time for breakfast if you're hungry. Building in time to get to work, even if there's a little bit of traffic. And I know one of the concerns that a lot of my procrastinators have is the wasting time, feeling like they are wasting their time if they schedule an extra 15 minutes to get to and from places. Well, then I'll get there 15 minutes early most of the time, and then I just sit, and then I'm wasting that time. No, you're not. You're not wasting that time. If you do nothing else with that time, you're adding to your lifespan because you're not going to be stressed out trying to get from one place to another as quickly as possible because you're running late. With that extra time, you feel ahead of the game. How much is that worth? We tend to translate things into dollars and cents. But there's a lot of other levels to look at. So really taking a look at that, recognizing that, recognizing the gift in that. But most of the time, we have a book that we need to be reading. We have, and it's a book that we want to read, I should add, but we'd like to get to it. We have time to connect with other people during that time. if you have all of the, I think most people do now. I was accused of living in the 1800s with my flip phone. But if you have a smartphone or a BlackBerry or something like that, that extra 15 minutes that you get, you can check into your email. You can write a note to your kids or your spouse, or you can, you know, answer some work emails or something like that. You're not going to waste that time. But if you need it, you have it. And that's the gift. So you're sitting in traffic, and instead of freaking out because you're going to be late, you're sitting in traffic and you're going, oh, well, kind of good that I left a little bit early. And that helps you to break out of that mold of describing yourself, defining yourself, and boxing yourself in as a procrastinator. Build in those cushions. It's a good thing. And you're not going to be wasting time. It allows you to really get centered, too, throughout your day. I mean, after the radio show here today, I'm going to be able to take a deep breath. I don't have a meeting right at 11 o'clock my time, right after this show. I have time to take a breath, kind of look around, figure out if there's some things that I'd like to take care of. And one of the things that can really help with procrastinating as well is when you have your to-do list, take a look at it and do the things on there. Obviously, there might be something that you have to take care of right within the moment because it has to be taken care of. But otherwise, take a look at your list and see what you're inspired to do in that moment. What is it that you want to do from your list? And I'll tell you something. If your list is full of things that you don't want to do and there's nothing on your list that you want to do, I would go so far as to say you're doing it wrong. I don't like to say that very much, but I imagine a world where people have a list of things to do and appointments, and it's all pretty much stuff that they want to do. And you can structure your life that way. You can delegate the things that absolutely have to get done that you don't want to do. You can delegate those. There are people who love to do those things that you hate to do. If you hate doing your own accounting, you can find somebody to do that for you. And then you can spend your time doing the things that you are really good at. Because I'll tell you something, the people who earn the most in their fields are people who love their job. They're doing work that they're crazy about. And because of that, they rise to the top. They become the best because they can't get enough of what they love. So they're spending a lot of their time doing work. They're not necessarily workaholics, but when they have downtime, typically they're reading about it, they're reading magazines about it, and trade journals, and their friends are also people who are very good within that field. And they can be really innovative. So if your list and your life is full of other people's expectations and things that you feel that you should do, how energizing is that to your life? You probably feel a little tired and a little drained, if not a lot. And imagine if your calendar was full of things that you wanted to do that would be fun. One of the concerns that I hear a lot is this feeling that if I do what I want, I'm not going to get anything done. That's just another way to beat up on yourself. The truth is that if you just did the things that you wanted to do, your life would be full of really great things. You're not just going to lay around on the couch and watch TV unless you're clinically depressed. Then there are some other things that probably need to happen. People who start with this idea of doing what they feel they want to do in the moment, they might have a day or two where they're just kind of laying around and resting. Maybe that's what they need. I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with that. But fairly soon, they start to look at their life and they start to think, you know, I would really like to work on whatever it is. One of the elements of being a human is that we need to have meaningful work in our lives that makes our life rich. I work with a lot of people who have decided to retire. And I typically talk to them when they've decided that that was a bad idea. They will call me and they'll say, oh, I decided to retire and I'm so bored. And I'm kind of feeling blue. And I never realized how much work gave me. It's not just a paycheck. It's the social interaction. It's the prestige. It's the it's the brainstorming and the creative process and all of those kinds of things. I'm going to go down a little rabbit hole here because the thing that I really love about working with those people and the thing that I really love about working with young people who are just getting into the workforce too is that both of those people have something in common. And the great thing that they have in common is this fresh start. They realize that what they can do at this point in their life is that they can do what they love to do. I'm so glad when I get a call from somebody who's finishing high school or in the middle of college and they say, yeah, I'm studying what I love, need to figure out a way to make this into a career. A lot of people would think that that's backwards. A lot of people would feel that we need to decide on the career, and then you need to pick what you're going to study, and then you need to study that, and then that's one way to do it. But another way to do it is to do what you love to do. Those are the people who are making the huge bucks in their fields because they have always studied what they love to study. And then they found a way to make that into a career instead of the other way around. I've had a lot of calls from people who, because I do career work too, and I have a book out called Unlocking the Secrets of the Successful Career Seeker. And I've had a lot of people who have called me and they said, I just spent 12 years in law school or in medical school. And then I spent a miserable year or two doing that, and I hate it. And now what do I do? What do I do? Because they did what they thought that they were, what was expected of them and what they should do, and they wound up miserable. I don't want that to happen to people. So this all ties back in to procrastination. Because we tend to put off those things that we feel are shoulds and expectations. Things that we feel other people want us to do. And maybe the saddest thing that I hear is when I talk with families, because I'll work with families, and I'll hear an adult child say, well, I just went to the medical school because, you know, you wanted me to. And the parent will say, where did you get that from? Oftentimes our assumptions about the expectations of others, oftentimes we're wrong. So it's better to look at our lives, whether it's day to day or overarchingly, figure out what's going to inspire us. What direction do we want to go? How do we want to fill our days? And in those tiny little decisions that we make, when somebody asks us to do something and we think, oh, I don't want to do that, but I guess I really should, that's taking our time. That time then cannot be used in another way. And on a grander scale, the concern that I have for my clients when that happens and when they do that to themselves is that that is time when they are not being actively inspired. They're not being creative. They're not using their gifts in the world. They're doing something that they that has been put on them. What I love to see people do is to figure out what it is that inspires them. When you are in that place, when you are completely inspired by something, you are at your creative best. We look at people like Da Vinci, Benjamin Franklin, for example. These were people who lived in the moment and who did what inspired them in the moment. And I would argue that most people have that level of brilliance, but they have resigned themselves to living a life by a default calendar that's filled with other people's shoulds and expectations. So this is what I am going to be speaking about at the Bling event. I'm also going to be doing some exercises with people to help them move out of that type of procrastination where their whole life is really based on what other people want them to do and expect of them. And so I will remind you again, if you're local, I would love to have you join me. It's at the Bling event. This is put on by the Chamber of Commerce. It is for women. So we will have other things that I will be at where we can invite the men, but this is actually just a women's event. It's for everybody. You don't have to be a member of the chamber. Business owners, or you're thinking about starting your own business, or even if you just live in the Broomfield area and you want to go out and have a fun day. It's on November 4th, next Thursday, between 2 and 6 p.m., and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be speaking there. And we've got some other really incredible speakers. And I also want to remind people that I have a class on procrastination that is coming up on Tuesday, November 16th, at noon Mountain Standard Time. That's 2 o'clock Eastern. And we're going to be exploring the 5 reasons that people procrastinate. And then we're also going to be talking about what you can do, depending on which reason you're procrastinating. So I hope that you'll join me for that. And I think that we are going to wrap up for today. I want to thank everybody for being with me. I want to thank people who brought questions to the chat room and just are listening by recording too. It's just really a joy to have you here with us. So next week I am going to be talking with Charles Rubin. And he is such a great guy, so fun. He's been on the show before. He talks about dream analysis. I've worked with him privately, and he's just amazing, really incredible. He's written a lot of books, and I should have the title of this particular book we're going to be discussing written down, and I don't, but it's going to be really a lot of fun. So I hope that you will join us for that. And I just want to thank everybody once again. I also want to let you know that the music that we bring our show in and out with is by Trinity DeMath. It is the most beautiful music. I was treated to seeing her in person in a little concert, just a wonderful little setting that we had, and just able to connect. And I know that those kinds of concerts were big in the 1970s, and we've kind of lost touch with those, but oh, such a gift. It was such a wonderful evening, and I would encourage you to go out to her site, trinitydemask.com. That's Trinity, and then Demask is spelled DEMASK.com. She has 2 albums out, and I would love for you to hear those. Beyond the music that you hear on the show, I would just really encourage you to go out. I think she's got little samples that you can listen to. And just check that out, because really incredible. So I also want to thank Whispering Energy for providing this space for us to have our show and our time together. And you especially, thank you so much for being here. So until next time, go in peace. Don't beat up on yourself. Do not define yourself as a procrastinator or anything else that is unproductive that keeps you from being who you truly are and bringing your gifts out into the world. Just want to encourage you to really get in touch with who it is that you are at your center and bring that out into the world, because the world needs it. The world needs you. I hope that you will be here next time as we speak with Charles Rubin. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Hoping to find my way.